Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tip Show. Pinterest Tip Show. A show designed to assist man in his quest to succeed on Pinterest. If you have interest in the content you want to share, content you want your clients to see, learn ways to grow and succeed in this unique and exciting world. One man will assist you on your journey to become a pinner and grow your presence online. Men and women can share in the success. And here to show you how
is your host.
Is your host, Jeff C. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.
Hello, folks. Welcome to the Manly Pinterest Tips Podcast. I'm Jeff C., and you're not. One of the questions that I get most asked online is, how can a business just getting started on Pinterest get in front of an audience and reap some benefits quickly? Now, I still believe that Pinterest should be a part of a long-term strategy, but one of the best ways to get some quick results is with promoted pins. But how much budget should I start with? How do I track and measure my progress? What products and services work best for promoted pins? These are just some of the questions we'll cover on today's show. But first, have you downloaded my free Manly Pinterest Tips Tackle Box? It's chock full of some of my favorite resources for creating images and for productivity. Go to manlypinteresttips.com to check it out. Now, who better to talk about the subject of promoted pins than with my friend and Pinterest promoted pins expert, Alisa Meredith. Alisa is a content marketing strategist who has often been accused of a Pinterest obsession. She is also the content marketing manager at Tailwind. A big believer in the power of visual marketing, she's on a mission to help businesses find their creative side. Now, this interview that I did with Alisa was a live show where the audience was able to interact with myself, guests, and each other. If you'd like to be a part of one of our live shows, make sure to head on over to manlypinteresttips.com and join our email community to find out when our next live show is. Come join us, where you can ask your own questions during the show. Now, I've had Alisa on the show before, and I will continue to do so since she is such a smarty pants when it comes to promoted pins and really understands how a small business can leverage promoted pins to their advantage. So without further ado, let's jump right into my conversation with Alisa Meredith. Alisa, thank you so much for being back on the show again today.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jeff. You know, I'm always willing to talk about promoted pins.
Yeah, and I think you are the one of the top guests on the show. You and Peg are probably tied for being out here. Yeah, so there you go.
Yay.
So, you know, one of the things, what I was going to remind people, as I'm talking with Alisa during the show today, if you have any questions, make sure to come in Crowdcast and ask them there on the sidebar, and we'll try to get to those during the show. If you're watching on Periscope or YouTube or Facebook, I can't monitor comments over there, so come on over here and watch. There's too much stuff going on. So anyway, Pinterest, you know, since we last talked, really hasn't gone anywhere. And they came out with some new numbers in April, and they now have 175 million monthly active users. And that's 25 more million than back in October. And so this continued growth is really exciting. But we've talked offline about this a little bit, but why do you still think people and marketers especially struggle to understand Pinterest?
Oh, so funny. Maybe a week and a half ago, I had someone in a Facebook group say, is Pinterest still a thing? Oh, yeah, it's still a thing. But I think the problem is, you know, 175 million, that's good. But a lot of other networks have grown more quickly. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the growth is outside the U.S. But I think the real problem is in the mindset. I think people just don't understand how people use Pinterest. They call it a social network, but it is not. I mean, the founders right. even say it's not. It's a search and discovery engine, and that's how people use it. So to understand that it's not like Instagram where you should be posting pictures of you at work or your coffee in the morning. It's more about helping people to collect ideas and products that they want to try or buy.
Gotcha. That's a good point. I think a lot of times, and they don't understand the long-term, and we talked about this before, the long-term traffic that Pinterest can provide. And both you and I agree that if you have any sort of product you need to be, you know, putting it out there on Pinterest because it's just, it's kind of a no brainer.
But yeah. And you also need to be creating content for it too. So if you have an e-commerce site and you're just posting thousands of pictures of your products, that probably isn't going to get you too far. So I think a lot of sites like Wayfair does a good job with this. They don't have a 2,000 word blog post. They have kind of a mini blog post where the image takes center stage and they might have a bunch of supporting images. And the, really the point is to have decent content to drive people from Pinterest back to your site.
Right. Very good. And it does take a little extra work. I mean, you just can't crop a graphic down usually like you can a lot of times for Instagram. It takes a little planning and trying to think about, you know, what image is going to work with that product or service and how that will look in those taller pins that Pinterest is so, you know, gives so much credence to. So, yeah, those are all good points. And we're going to dive. It's a nerd alert. So we're going to really dive into some promoted pins because Elisa has spent a lot of time diving in deep to this because it can be kind of confusing, but hopefully we can break it down with for you guys today. But you know, promoted pins. So can you give kind of people a brief overview who may have heard of promoted pins, but not really sure, or may have not heard about them at all. So what do you do when you tell people, you know, I'm a promoted pin expert, you know, this is what a promoted pin is. So what are they?
Oh, well, you know, I love that word, expert.
Guru, ninja.
Well, it's Pinterest advertising. And the nice thing about Pinterest ads is that they look like other pins on Pinterest. So it's not in Facebook where something is very obviously an ad. The only thing you're going to be able to tell is that we'll say promoted by. But they're often, I mean, they get a better engagement rate than organic pins. So they're very well received. And so they're worth checking out.
So there's some confusing, and I know talking to people, there's confusion over what promoted pins are and then what buyable pins are. So what are the difference between the two?
Completely different animals. So a buyable pin, as you know, is a pin that allows you to purchase that item without ever leaving Pinterest, which is very cool. It just sends the order information to your shopping cart, and then you can fulfill the order. Very easy as far, you know, from a user perspective, maybe a little too easy. Once you make that first purchase, it's just click, 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 and you've purchased three things. But a buyable pin can be promoted. So a promoted pin is any organic pin that you decide to put money behind to get more impressions, more clicks.
Very cool. Now, a buyable pin can be a promoted pin, correct?
Yes, that's okay. Right.
So, which is really kind of sneaky. I don't know why people don't do more of that, but I think that's very, very cool because, I mean, you're just boosting, you know, a one-click buy kind of thing.
Yeah, and I'm sure they must have figured out a way by now because it seems like, okay, if you're doing a traffic campaign where you're only paying for clicks, then it seems like if you're promoting a buyable pin, you never, ever pay for it because they don't click to go to your site, right? They stay on Pinterest, but they must be, be making money off those somehow. Otherwise, it would just be silly.
Oh, Shai has a good comment. He wants to know, is payment handled by Pinterest or does it go through to the vendor? So I think he's asking about buyable pins there.
Yeah, it goes through to the vendor. So Pinterest doesn't actually give you the money. It comes in through your shopping cart site, which is why it's limited to a few different.
Right.
Yes, you do give your credit card to Pinterest, but they send that information onto your shopping cart site. So it's only limited to Shopify and e-commerce and a couple others.
Yeah. The cool thing is once you put it in there, and I know my wife loves it, she never has to do it again. She can just hit buy. And the other cool thing about the shopping cart is it goes from, if you save it on your mobile and you don't feel comfortable doing, you know, a purchase on your mobile, you can do it transfers to your, the shopping cart on your desktop. So it saves where you are, which is very, very cool moving from mobile to desktop. So that's a really cool feature of the buyable pin. So are there any special requirements if you want to start dabbling in promoted pins? What do you have to have?
You do have to have a business account.
Okay.
So that's about the only thing.
That's all you have to do you can just convert your, if you don't have a business account, then you can't get promoted pins. You have to have the business account to do that, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Very cool. That's what I want to know. I just want to make sure that there wasn't any other special things you had to go through if you just want to do promoted pins right off the top.
Right. I don't even know You know, you don't even have to confirm your site, I don't believe. Okay. I always do anyway. It's good, just good practice when you get a right. business account, but I'm not even sure if you need to do that. I just okay. always do anyway.
So, you know, you mentioned it's kind of like they're advertising units. And what are the different types of campaigns that you can do with the promoted pins? I know that there are different ones, and I kind of want you to break those down for us.
Yeah, so we have awareness campaigns, and that is where you just pay for impressions. And I generally stay far, far away from those. Now, you and I have also talked about the fact that they're coming out with video promoted pins. So we'll be able to do that. And if you do that, you're going to have to use that awareness campaign. That makes sense. And then there is there's engagement. So you can pay for actions on your promoted pin, which also is not a great deal because you end up spending all your money on people just clicking to do a close up on your pin. Mm-hmm. And I really rather have either repins or clicks to my website. And that's what you get more of when you do a traffic campaign. So you're only paying for the traffic, people who click and go to your site. So every other action on your pin is completely free, which I like that idea. So I always use traffic. And then you can do an app promoted pin. So if you have an app on the iOS store, you can promote that. And that will take people right from their phone right to the app store to install your app.
Very cool. Yeah. So the new one kind of is this video promoted pins. Now, not just normal people can get that yet, can they?
No. Or
can
I? No, just the fancy people.
Well, it was just, I tried the other night and they really catch your eye because they're playing in your feed. And I was like, oh my gosh. And I know I figured Tasty had one, but I had to, and Cosmopolitan I saw now is doing it. And BuzzFeed was the one. And it was really interesting. I had to dig for it because it didn't say BuzzFeed video at the top. It had the YouTube link. And I'm like, are they letting them do it for YouTube now? And apparently it's still for those big ones because I went and tested to try it with getting one of my YouTube videos. But hopefully those will roll out because that is just really eye-catching. And I'm sure they're trying to hold off on that because they don't want the feed filled up with everybody posting their stupid YouTube dog video or something on there. So,
but it's, I don't know how many people would be promoting their stupid YouTube dog.
Well, it's so cool though. I mean, I just really wish they'd open that up because it really did catch my eye. It was like a little mini movie playing in my Pinterest feed. And it was different from the cinematic pins where you scroll and stuff moves and then stops. It's that it was just playing. And I thought that was really, really cool. And I really,
because when they first announced it come out, that they showed that it would be like when you're scrolling on your phone that it would move then, like this, a preview. They've changed it.
These are playing like little videos in there, and I was like, whoa, because I had never seen them before, and I was like, this is really cool. And then I tested it, and I don't have it. So anyway, but I think hopefully those will roll out. And if you have a client or somebody, or you are a client, one to do that, there's some. I think you have to have a Pinterest marketing. Company that they are specialized. I heard your dog.
Yeah.
Live video. That's what happens.
Right.
So you have to get with a development. It was not a development partner, but an advertising partner, right?
Yeah, I think
so. Okay.
Yeah, you have to spend a whole lot of money. But what I love about them is when you do click to open on it, it's going to show you the whole video you can watch. But then underneath it, it's going to have more promoted pins. So if you're showing a video about how to whittle, whatever. And then below that, you could have all the different carving knives and whatever it is that you want to promote. So while they're watching this great idea, learning how to do it, I need that.
It was very, very cool. So let me see. Shai had another question. Bible pins, do they have to be rich pins? I think they're two different animals, aren't they?
Completely different, yeah.
Okay, yeah. Just wanted to double check that and get that question answered. So, okay, we talked about the different campaign types. What are these one tap promoted pins that I've been hearing about, and I've been kind of seeing some new. What are the difference between regular promoted pins, and what do these do special?
Correct. Well, I just want to bring out that there are a couple of new campaign types coming.
Okay.
That I'm really excited about. So they're called search ads, right? And then so that there will be two new campaign types inside that. So there's going to be keyword, And the other one just went completely out of my head. But but the keyword one is exciting to me because right now when you have a traffic campaign or any kind of campaign and you target a keyword, it doesn't mean it's targeting search intent in that moment. It's looking at pinner activity, figuring out what kinds of keywords they tend to be interested in and serving up your pin then. So your keyword targeted promoted pin could show up in a keyword search, but it could also show up in a home feed.
Okay. Right. So it's kind of doing machine learning on what you've used before. Is that what it's?
What you have saved before, your board titles, what you've engaged with. Yeah. So.
Let me just clarify because I'm trying to get my mind around this. So will they, like, let's say I search for carving tools in the Pinterest feed, so that could show up in those results and also on my home feed. Is what you're saying?
Yeah. So if you're in the habit of searching for carving tools, even if you're searching for hunting boots,
right?
You know, probably not if you're searching for it, but if you go to Pinterest and you think, "Oh, I'm going to look at recipes today," it could be right in your home feed, even though you didn't search for it.
Do you think that's going to dilute the effectiveness of Pinterest? Because I know a lot of people don't use their home feed anymore; they just do search, and if they're starting to get ads served up that aren't relevant, I guess the algorithm must be super relevant because, you know, that's the only, when you mess with search results, that scares me.
I know. And I don't really like it because I don't think they convert as well because they're not catching people when they're searching for that term. So it's just kind of a broad, you know, you kind of like this, right? Maybe at this moment you feel like buying it. That's why they're not super effective, but these new search ads that come out, they will be. The keyword campaigns. And then the other one, I remembered what it is. It's a shopping campaign. So if you are an e-commerce seller and you have 500 items, you don't have to manually create a promoted pin for each one. You can use a feed. So right now you do have to go through a marketing agency and you have to spend at least $5,000 to get any of them to talk to you. But Pinterest is working on their own platform. And the other cool thing about keyword campaigns is going to be that you can bid by keywords. So right now, when you create a traffic campaign that targets a bunch of keywords, they are all the same bid. So silver hunting knife is 56 cents a click. Then every other keyword in that category, I've requested to be 56 cents.
Gotcha. Okay. That's really cool, but they're coming out with new stuff. That was when they first rolled out, it was really limiting. And I was like, gosh, they got to catch up to be more like Facebook. And they're slowly rolling out stuff that seems to be not as targeted as Facebook, but they're doing a lot more. And I like the e-commerce angle they're coming with.
Yeah, me too. They really need to make it scalable for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Not just for the big boys. That's a cool thing about Facebook has done is it's not, there's not these big, huge, you know, barriers to entry for the small person. Mm-hmm. What is this new Pinterest Propel? I've seen a lot of that. Is that has to do with anything about promoted pins, or is it just kind of help for them?
Yeah. So if you have a decent budget, I think it's $100 a day to spend on promoted pins, Pinterest will actually help you. They'll help you with your creatives and setting up your campaign. So if you have that kind of budget, I would absolutely do it. And if you are managing clients' accounts, I believe if you have that combined budget for your client accounts, they will help you. Very cool. Check that out. I mean, free is always nice. And they only do it for 30 days, but that should be enough to get some help.
Yeah. So that's relatively new. So that's mm-hmm. very, very cool. So like Elise said, if you do have that budget and have a lot of clients that you're using, that would be something to try out as well. So, okay. We talked about, we didn't get into one tap promoted pins.
Oh, one tap. Okay. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. So that is available on traffic campaigns for a lot of accounts. I've seen it switch over in many accounts, but not all. And if you get an email saying, congratulations, you've been upgraded to one-tap promoted pins, they have already converted all of your traffic campaigns to one-tap. So you want to watch that because if you're doing a one-tap promoted pin campaign on cold traffic, so let's say you're targeting keywords, you're targeting interests, that's going to probably really increase the bounce rate on your site. And it's going to increase what you're spending on promoted pins, decrease your results. Right, because these people don't know you, they're expecting to get a close-up of the pin and then decide if they want to click through to your site. So if you're not targeting a really warm list, like maybe your email list, or someone who's already been to a certain page on your site, and I would be really particular about which ad groups and campaigns, well, campaigns that I would use OneTap Promoted Pins for.
So how do you turn them off if you don't want to use it? Is it an easy setting to find?
It is. It's a big red slider on your campaign editing dashboard. Yeah. So I did talk to Pinterest about this because I did not understand how on earth. I mean, yes, it's going to increase your click-throughs. Of course it is. But I think a lot of them are going to be accidental. And they got back to me and said, yeah, it's true. We don't recommend it on those cold traffic kind of campaigns. But when we do use it on people who already know the brand, know the products, it tends to decrease your cost per click because it has more engagement, right? So it's like Facebook when you have a high relevancy score. On Pinterest, when your ad is performing well, you pay less and less. So with that one tap, it makes it perform better. You just have to make sure you're getting the right results on the back end with your ultimate sales or lead conversions.
So it makes sense for like a company like not the big boys like Macy's or somebody, but like the Grommet, you know, they have products. So doing a one tap campaign may be a good idea for them.
I wouldn't just blanket do it. I would maybe target just their email list with a one tap.
Cool.
Right, because they already know them.
Okay. And we'll get into targeting in a little bit. I do want to dive into that. But so conversion tag. That's something, you know, that you've recommended in your articles before. So what is it and how hard is it to set up? Could just somebody who has maybe an understanding of WordPress do it, or is it something that's really tough to do?
Yeah, it's really easy. It's just a little script that needs to go in the head section of every page on your site that you want to track. You also want to do it if you're using lead pages or another third-party tool. You want to make sure it's on that as well. And the reason for that is that you can create an audience based on, say, people who have been to your landing page but haven't been to the thank you page, right? So you can get really specific about the different kinds of traffic that you get. And you can also see the results that you're getting from your promoted pins based on that conversion pixel.
Very cool. So if you can set up your Google Analytics and your site, you should be able to set up this easier.
Yeah, no problem.
Very, very cool.
But do it. I mean, if you're even thinking one day maybe I'll do promoted pins, do it now so it can start collecting that information so that when you start to do a visitor audience or something, there'll be something there for you to target.
Gotcha. So targeting. Who can you target with promoted pins? Because I know you've dived deep on this, and I recommend, you know, if you have even more geeky nerdiness about promoted pins, go to elisameredith.com. She's got some great articles there. So, but who can you target? What is so cool about the stuff you can do with promoted pins?
Well, I'm excited about the audience targeting, right? So, I mean, the typical keywords, interests, yeah, we could do that.
Right.
But it's the custom audiences that are really exciting, and that's where you can see low costs and high conversion rates. So when I get a new client, I will always exhaust all of those opportunities before I start moving out. Unless they're super impatient, then we can do keywords. But you can target visitors to your site, like I mentioned. So you can do the whole site. You can specify a time range for when they should have been there. You can do one page. You can do a series of pages. Or you can do like the URL contains. So if I wanted to do every blog post on my site that had promoted pins in it, then I could just do contains promoted-pins, right? Okay. That would pick up every blog title, every visit to those pages. So that is really helpful, especially, well, then you get to engagement groups, engagement targeting. So if I wanted to say, all right, I want to target everybody who ever clicked on one of my promoted pins to this URL, I could do that. So they could click on it, or I could say, no, I want to target just people who have saved that pin, but never clicked on it, right? So I've got this really warm audience who already had some interest in my content, they just didn't click through. And that, what the cool thing about that is, it's not just that one instance when I pinned that pin to the content, it could be anybody had pinned it. So if you had pinned my pin, I can now retarget those people who had clicked on your version of my pin.
That's cool. Yeah, that's That's really geeky, nerdy.
I know.
Super scary stuff.
Super marketing fun.
That is awesome. So, so you can target to, but you can also target to audience. I remember when the audiences, when you can actually upload your email list as well.
So you can upload your email list. You can upload segmented email lists, which is a great idea. So, Jeff, if you had one group that was interested in beards and you had one group that was interested in carving, you could upload those separately so that when you have content to promote that would do better with one group than the other, you don't have to be targeting the wrong group. You can also, you can exclude audiences as well. So if you wanted to, say, target your email list with one ad, like that's a super hot group right there. And then you wanted to target an engagement group is a little cooler. You could say, all right, when I target my engagement list, I want to exclude the email list. So you're not, your ads aren't competing with each other.
Right.
You're driving up prices, annoying people, whatever.
Gotcha. And you can also do, which was I was really excited about too, because I use them all the time on Facebook, is lookalike audiences.
Yeah.
So explain a little bit about those. And I know you can slide over, you know, the relevant. Yeah. So if people go to that for the first time and they're not using Facebook, kind of explain what that little slider does and how to use it the best.
Well, when they first came out, they called them lookalike. But of course, Pinterest likes to have its own names for everything. So they're called act-alike. And they like to make that distinction because it's not people with certain demographic qualities or who follow a certain page. It's people who act in a certain way. So they want to find those similarities in how they behave on Pinterest, which is cool. And I do love them because if you find that maybe when you target your email list and it works really, really well, but your email list is not that large, so you're not getting the impressions and the clicks that you want.
Right.
That's when it's time to say, okay, I'm going to create an act-alike email audience, and I'm going to target that. So like you said, there is a slider that goes from 1% similarity to 10%. And obviously, your 1% will be the most similar. It usually starts out about 720,000 people, all the way up to 10%, which can become massive.
Right.
And then, so if you go up in the higher end of that, you're probably going to add some more targeting. So whether you add keyword targeting or whatever you need to shrink that a little bit. Because Pinterest, beyond telling you the size of your custom audiences and your act-alike audience, doesn't tell you how many people could potentially see your pin. Mm. So if you're targeting by keyword or interest, it's not going to say, well, you'll probably reach 12 million people. You just have no way now.
Gotcha. So do you have like a recommended setting when you do it, to slide over, if you start with like a small list, do you like go like halfway, or I mean, is there kind of a rule of thumb that you like to use?
Yeah, I start with one. I start with 1%. Okay. I'm fairly conservative. I think I just don't want to spend people's money when I don't need to. So I want to see, okay, email did great. Let's do an act like at 1% and see how much we lose as far as the conversion rate, how much more we pay possibly. And then see, okay, if it's worth doing 2%, then what I would do there is I would create an audience that was 2% similar, target that, but then exclude the 1%, right? Mm-hmm. So now you have two audiences that are both about the same size, right? But one is going to be a lot more similar than the other. And then you can look at how much difference that makes too.
Very cool. So you can really nerd out on this stuff. So
yes, I do.
We talked about targeting by audience. And you target by devices. So which one should I use, or should I use both? What's your kind of best practices and tactics for doing that?
Yeah, so it depends on you and your site and the activity of your buyer. So I have one e-commerce client, and I went in and looked, and almost all of his sales across the board from every source were from web, iPhone, or iPad. Mm-hmm. Nothing else was converting. So it makes sense when I promote his pins, it's only going to be to those three platforms.
Okay. And did you find, the way you found that out, is that through Google Analytics when you first looked and went, okay, I'm seeing where his traffic's coming from, so it makes sense to do the same thing?
Yeah, more than seeing where his traffic is coming from, seeing where his sales come from. Gotcha. So if you have goals set up, or if you have e-commerce tracking set up, you'll be able to see what device people are using.
Right. Gotcha. So how do I figure out what's working? I mean, I think from everything we've talked about so far, you have said, like, you know, test, track, be conservative. Then when it works, go on to the next thing. So what is your kind of, you know, your tactics for figuring out, what do you do for your clients to figure out what's working? Do you have like this gazillion line spreadsheet? I mean, what do you do to track all this stuff?
Yeah, you've seen my gazillion line spreadsheet.
I have
one. So I'm experimenting with a couple different ways, either just in a document and adding a million comments, which is getting a little out of control. So now I have moved to a spreadsheet. So I'm going to keep track of the cost per click, the conversion cost, all right in there. And that's something that I share with my clients too, so they can see what's working. But the other thing about it that's nice is that as you're planning it, you put all the information right in the spreadsheet. Then that way, when the client signs off or when you're happy with it, you just go to Pinterest and bang, bang, bang. You don't have to think about it. It's all right there in front of you. Yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Pre-planning is what to do on a campaign like
that. Oh my goodness. Yes. Otherwise you just, you know, skip stuff. You get overwhelmed because, I mean, it's not nearly as complicated as Facebook ads, but there are things you'll miss if you don't really think about it before.
Gotcha. So is there any third-party tools that I can use to help track my results? I know that you had and we'll get into it after this, but that there's one that you recommend.
Yeah, so there is a program called Pinoculars. And the way that came about is I hired a programmer to help me figure out how to track conversions on my site. So what's really cool about what you can do in Pinterest advertising is if I have an e-commerce store, I can say, I want to target just the people who have added this hairbrush to their cart, but did not purchase it. I mean, that is super laser targeted tracking. So I couldn't do that without some custom programming, which I cannot do. I will not do. And so between me and Alex, we figured out it's not worth it for me, you know, unless you're really into e-commerce, you probably don't need it. But he went and wrote this program, and it's just pinoculars.com, P-I-N-Oculars. That will work with Shopify, works with easy digital downloads, and it works with WooCommerce.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. And we'll drop the link in there in the show notes and also in the sidebar. So do you think that everybody needs to use event tracking, or do you think it's just, if you're like having a digital product or you're just selling a couple items, do you think you still need event tracking? Or when do you recommend that you dive into this? I mean, we've been nerdy before. This is now like super nerdy. So what do we do about that?
I think it depends on your scale. Right. So if for me with my course, it doesn't make sense. But if I'm selling 15 million courses a month, it does make sense for me to be able to retarget people who perhaps have added that to their cart, but didn't check out.
Right? Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So I'd want to be able to create that audience. And then, you know, I'd want to be able to see that it's working too. You can do that when you export your conversion data, which is a whole other story we probably don't want to get into.
Okay. So, you know, and that's a great tool, because if you aren't a programmer, it can get a little overwhelming. But I know you get this question all the time, but how much should I budget, you know, when I start out? Is there a minimum that you even have to go with? Like, you know, if it's going to be $100 a day, you know, a lot of people are like, I can't afford that. But is it similar to Facebook, or what do you kind of recommend starting out?
Well, you have to bid at least 10 cents a day, but that's not going to be enough to let you know if it's working. So when I have a budget and I have a number of campaigns I can run with as many ad groups as I want to, I don't like to go below $5 a day for a campaign. So then you kind of have to figure out, you know, what is a click worth to you? If somebody buys your fancy hunting knife, Jeff, that sells for $150,
right.
And you know that your conversion rate is 1%, you know, that tells you how much you can spend per click. So that should be your baseline, like your, well, really kind of the max you want to go on your bid.
Gotcha. So you actually plan, I mean, I know clients just want to throw money at stuff, you know, a lot of them at first, and you're like, hold your horses.
Yes, please.
So that scale, I think, is a good thing to use. How many, How many variations do you, when you start out with, do you do? Because I know you can split test things to the nth degree. You can have different variations of the pin. You can have a different call to action. You can do all this stuff. How many do you like to start out with so you don't get like totally going crazy with stuff?
Yeah. Well, a lot of times they will have a specific image they want to use. But if not, I like to have three at least. Right. And the nice thing that we have now, we have campaign level, we have ad group level, and then we have our individual pins. So the nice thing about that kind of new structure that we have is that you can go into your ad group and add a new pin without having to set up all the targeting again. It's just a new image with a new link. It's just super easy to set up that kind of testing now.
Very, very cool. So you mentioned ad group. So if people who aren't, you know, they don't know what Facebook ads, they don't even dabble, they're just doing Pinterest. So explain to them what an ad group is and how you can use those.
Okay. So the way I use them is to identify the targeting, right? So you have a campaign. So let's say we have, it's just fancy carving knife. That's the campaign because that's what we want to sell. So under that, you might have several ad groups. You might have Jeff's email list, and that would hold all your targeting as well as your cost per click bid. It can also have the daily amount you want to spend on that ad group, right? So I have an ad group budget, targeting, bid. And then you might have another ad group called visitors to site, right? And again, that's just your daily budget, targeting, the separate bid. So you can have as many ad groups as you want. And inside those ad groups are your individual pins. And that's where you're going to set up your UTM tracking URLs and give it a name so that when you look in your Google Analytics, you're going to be able to see what's working.
So let's say I had like five products. You know, I had a t-shirt, I had a knife, I had all this stuff. Do I set up a campaign for each one of those and then do my ad groups underneath that so it would tree out the way you just explained? So like with a knife one, I would have a campaign for the knife and then I'd have the ad group for the knife and then I'd have all the individual pins further on down.
Okay. Generally speaking, that is how I would do it. Now, I think there could be an exception where, let's say you had a 10-year anniversary promotion coming up, right? And inside of that 10-year anniversary promotion were five products you wanted to promote specially. So that could be a different way to do it. So your campaign group would be 10-year anniversary. Your ad groups would be fancy hunting knife, t-shirt, razor, whatever. Whatever guys sell, right?
No razors. We wouldn't. I wouldn't.
No. All right.
That's blasphemy. Okay, that's very good because I know a lot of times, and I know you've seen clients where you've gone in and it's just nut house inside of their thing. And so taking the time and sketching it out on paper and taking the time and planning it like you've talked about all through this show is the way to go. And so don't rush right in with your credit card ready. You know, take your time to figure out this stuff. You know, there's no way, to be honest, I don't think you could actually even start without having Google Analytics running on your site to see where stuff is. And then, you know, we dump some of these terms in like UTMs, which are from Google that help you track stuff. And you use those with your campaigns as well, right?
Absolutely.
With everything.
Yeah. Okay. Super important. Because I want to be able to go into Google Analytics and say, oh, I had on this goal, which might be an email sign up, I had 12 conversions from this campaign, this ad group, this particular pin, and it cost me this much. So that's what you can do when you go through that setup process, which, and like you said, a lot of people would kind of rather skip it, but then again, they want to know it's working.
Right.
I don't want to just throw their money at traffic.
Shai has another question, but we didn't mention this at the very beginning, and I want to, are promoted pins available for everyone, or is it just like the United States and the UK? Or
those two plus Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Ireland.
Okay. So it's not rolled out to everybody yet. So
no, and I know people are impatient, but the truth is when you submit your promoted pin, there are actual human beings looking at it.
Right.
To decide whether it's approved or not, which is hard to imagine, but I know it's true because sometimes I'll have one that's rejected. I'll email them and they'll say, oh, let me get a look at that. And then they'll say, oh, my colleague over on the other side of the room said it should be fine. So it's so very manual.
Yeah. Right. So that's something we didn't cover, that every one of your promoted pins has to be approved before it goes live. And like Elisa's saying, it's from a live person. So I've had some rejected that I was like, what? And then I did it again and it was fine. And so that's why it's like if somebody's having a bad day or they, you know, they wanted to leave, you know. So, you know, unless it's if let's say give you some reason like you can't have this on your pin at all, you might try resubmitting it and seeing what happens because sometimes it'll go through again. So Shay has some other questions. She goes, is a promoted pin based on a normal pin first?
Yes. So you do have to promote, you have to pin the pin first and then you can promote it.
Do they have to be rich pins?
No. No, okay. It's good if they are, especially if you have pricing, because while you can put pricing on the image of a promoted pin, that makes me super nervous because your pricing is probably going to change someday and you can't go through and control all those repins of your pin. So it's better to just have the rich pin with the pricing so that will show up for you.
Very cool. And we did kind of cover this a little bit, but you can do A/B testing on a promoted pin.
Yeah, so inside your ad groups, you can have different images, different descriptions, whatever you need to test. And yeah, you want to definitely keep an eye on that. And I pause the one that's not working. But Pinterest will automatically serve up the one that's working better more than the other one, kind of like Facebook.
Gotcha. So in your vast experience of promoted pins, what pins should I promote? I'm sure that I shouldn't promote all of them. And do some that you've seen work better than others? And what are kind of your tactics on that?
Yeah. So what you should be promoting is really a little bit more dependent on the content that you're promoting. So that's kind of the first step, figuring out what content on your site converts to leads or converts to sales. So now you have, okay, this blog post, about rich pins converts really well to email signups, and that's what I want. So, okay, now that's the content we want. Now, the image you want to promote is going to have best practices for pins in general, right? So a longer image, maybe warmer colors, usually without faces. You do want a little bit of text overlay, especially, again, in our industry where it's more of a service-based or more of an information product that we're selling or that we're trying to get people to go read. Because they need to know what they're going for. You also want to use a little bit of subtle branding because that kind of lets people know where they're going before they get there. It's kind of like another layer on top of not doing one-tap pins. A disclaimer, this is a website, my business website, and this is where you'll be going. If you can include a call to action in your pin image, that's great because that way they know what they're expected to do when they click and go to your site. So that's something you should also include in your description. So if you're sending them to your Manly Tackle Box, you're going to say, you know, download yours. If you say download yours now, they may reject your pin because they don't like that word.
Okay. Yeah. So let's talk about that. There's some things you can't have and you will be rejected. You can't like do sale ends Friday or something like that. Correct?
Right. Exactly. Okay. They will kick you out.
And you mentioned lifestyle images work better as well. So let's say I'm selling, you know, jewelry and I have a necklace. So it's better to have it on somebody like outside and instead of having it like a product shot on a black background and having the picture. So
yeah, it is. They can, well, Pinterest did a study and they say they convert to sales at 170% the rate that product photos do. So yeah, so more planning to get those done, but definitely worth it. But I would try both. And something else that I might do is to have your lifestyle image as kind of the hero image and then have other images alongside it, beneath it, because that's going to draw in more people for one thing. So if you had all those images on your site, you would link that promoted pin to a page on your site with just those items you could buy.
Okay. And so like back to the t-shirt thing. So instead of just doing the standard picture of a t-shirt, I should pay extra to use like Placeit or a model or go get a photo taken to use than just doing the plain old, you know, here's a pair of jeans or whatever.
Yeah, I would. I would definitely try it. And not, I know Placeit, I've seen a lot of isolated background shots. So it'd be a white background with a person. That's probably a little step above product shot, but really the lifestyle image would be someone on the street in a t-shirt looking cool.
Gotcha. So you mentioned faces don't do good. So would you crop out their faces and just have a, I mean, yes. is it a good deal?
Here. It really is. If you look at some of the bigger retailers on Pinterest and look at their promoted pins, they're cut off right here. So you can only see. That's so crazy, funny. Yeah. Okay. Or a lot of times you'll see just a little bit of face, or they may be back to. Yeah. I have a promoted pin for a client who's in the relationship consulting area. And the best promoted pin for him is two people just back to holding hands. And I guarantee you, if they were facing holding hands, it would not do as well, because people just need to picture themselves in it. So if you can just cut them off at the chin.
That's really interesting.
Or turn away. Yeah.
You know, and a lot of people are talking about in our space are talking about, you know, repurposing stuff from Instagram over to Pinterest. And, you know, Instagram's all about the selfie and the face. And so if they're not performing well, you know, that may be a reason. So that's really interesting. So I want to play with that now, because having cut off faces works better.
You have to find a better way to say that.
Oh, this is a really good question, because I actually asked this question of Lisa offline, Jay. She goes, we don't have anything like this in Italy, but do promoted Bible pins come up in visual search or more like this?
So promoted pins do not show up in on-site search or anything else, which I think is...
Or the lens.
Right.
Picture on your mobile.
Yeah, that's a statement they've made. We are not going to do that. I think it's a strange decision, personally. It seems like a great revenue source, so I'm not sure why they're not doing it. I mean, think about that. Right now, ads are getting more expensive because there's less and less real estate available. Well, that's a whole new world. And they said, no, we're not doing it. However, you will see viable pins. And you and I were talking about this last week. You won't be able to tell, unless they've changed it since last week, that it's a viable pin until you click on it and you go to Pinterest, and then, it's viable.
And see, that's huge for me if you have an e-commerce store. Mm-hmm. And that's the reason I'm playing with Shopify right now, is because they allow viable pins. They're one of the only ones that are kind of available for my tier. You know, I'm not a Macy's or a Nordstrom's or whatever, and I don't want to pay extra for an advertising agency. So that was the only one of that, and Big Commerce are, I think, the two that let them have viable pins. Because that's a big deal for me, because if somebody's out and they take a picture of shoes, you know, ones by Nike who aren't viable pins aren't going to show up in that results. But because I'm having my product on there that are a viable pin, they will show up for people who are using that visual search tool.
Yeah. And they're not, you know, they're not all viable pins, but you could certainly show up.
I think that would be cool. I think people, if they're taking the time, this is Jeff C, you know, totally, I'm guessing. But I think if they're taking the time to take a picture of a product, they're really interested in buying it.
Nice.
And so I'm just like, I think that's just a hidden thing that people don't think about. It's like, man, if they think your stuff's cool enough, they're taking a picture of it and trying to find out more about it. That's your customer. That's who you want to. And see, that's another thing. I'd love to be able to target those people who are, you know, who have been taking pictures of your stuff.
You know, that does bring up a good point, because yes, lifestyle images do convert. Mm-hmm. A lot higher in sales. However, I would say that you definitely want both, right? Because a product shot just straight on a white background is going to be a lot easier for Pinterest to match in the search.
Right. So I think do both. I think do your product shot and then do the and split test them and see. I don't know.
Yeah, but just don't bother trying to promote it hoping it'll show up there, because it won't.
Right. So where do you think, with all this new promoted pins, what do you think is coming up next for Pinterest? Do you think they're going to continue to refine their audiences and all that stuff, or what do you think is going to be next?
You know, their focus lately seems to be on making things easier to scale up, right? With the newest things they've had, ad groups and the new search campaign types. Mm-hmm. So I think they're interested in making it easier for us. So I'm hoping the next thing will be that we'll be able to duplicate campaigns, duplicate ad groups, move a pin from one ad group to another. If you make a mistake and put it in the wrong place, I just think, because you can't get rid of anything. So if you create an audience, it's not what you wanted. It's stuck there forever in your list to confuse you till the end of time. If you have a promoted pin that didn't work well and you just want it gone, sorry, you're going to have to look at it forever. So there's very limited functionality in the dashboard. And I'm hoping that those recent changes mean they're going to look at that a little bit more, make it easier for us to do more in there.
Very cool. And that's one thing I think we forgot to mention is one of the benefits of viable pins is the longevity. I mean, not viable, promoted pins. See, I get it screwed up too. But promoted pins, once you promote it and it's the promotion is done, what is, I mean, you probably know the stats of that, but talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. So a while back they were saying, you know, after your promoted pin ends or what you pay for, you tend to get a 30% bonus. So if in a traffic campaign, if you spend $100 and you get 100 clicks, you're probably actually in the end going to get 130 clicks for that $100. Now they're saying 20%, which is a little closer to what I see. And the reason for that bonus is that when somebody repins your promoted pin and someone clicks on their repin of it, you don't pay for it, right? But it still shows up credited to that promoted pin, which is really cool to see that sort of little viral effect going on.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And so just to be clear, so if I had a carving knife and it was a promoted pin and Elisa pinned that to one of her boards and then Mike came in and clicked on that, I don't get charged for it, but I get all the benefit.
That's right.
Very, very cool.
Yeah, so that's why I thought when engagement audit or engagement targeting came out, engagement campaigns, I thought, oh, that'd be cool. I'd love to pay for repins because then you're going to be getting that traffic forever and ever and ever. But that didn't work out. But it's okay.
All right. Well, Elisa, thanks for breaking this stuff down because it can get overwhelming and get, you know, kind of make your brain melt a little bit when you're trying to figure out all this stuff.
But it's Friday.
I know, but I think the big takeaway is planning, is to plan itself out and really, you know, think about what you want to do. You need to track everything and not freak out, you know, don't do too much at once and then slowly move forward and continue to refine and build and use those audiences and that you're pulling from your website and your email list and all that stuff. So you really get the best bang for your buck. So Elisa, where is the best place for people to find you online?
That would be elisameredith.com, ElisaMeredith.com. And I do have a promoted pin planner out there, which will walk you through not just what you want to do, but all the setup and has links to how to do all this techie kind of stuff, which really isn't that hard, but I know it's overwhelming.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. And you also have a course, right? On your
Yeah, I do.
Just want to make sure that people know about that.
So. Thank you. I do have a course, and you can get to that from that site too. Thank you.
Very, very cool. So thanks, Elisa, for being here. As always, I'd love for you guys to go visit manlypinteresttips.com, click on the sidebar, and subscribe to our email community so you'll never miss a great guest like we had with Elisa here today, because at Manly Pinterest Tips, we're always adding testosterone one pin at a time. See you next time, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Thank you for joining Jeff on his mission to help you be successful in the Pinterest world. Would you like to take part in a live show? Be sure to join Jeff's email community at manlypinteresttips.com. Adding testosterone, one pin at a time.